No city is like Jerusalem. It is the name given by God to our everlasting home, the New Jerusalem. But here we are talking of a city that you can see by flying west for about 7 hours, landing in Tel Aviv. There you can see for yourself, which I hope you will do. There are various names given for this one special city. No city on earth is like Jerusalem. It was founded by King David, who conquered it from the Jebusites, one of the ancient tribes that inhabited the land. So it is called City of David. It is also called the City of Peace. Eventually and eternally, it will be God's City of Peace for you and for me. But you must be a member of the family of God. Truly born again into God's family, there is no other way you can get into this city. It is the city of God, also called the holy city, the eternal city. Today, not yet. Finally, when we arrive there, you will be amazed. The New Jerusalem has no comparison. It is prepared by God for prepared people. And finally, the name is also called Zion. Zion, city of our God. Do you have a part in this wonderful city? Here is a picture of present-day Jerusalem. No city is like Jerusalem, built on a plateau, a little elevation of land in Israel. You can see in the foreground the walls of Jerusalem, not well shown here, but you can see in the background this is the Muslim Dome of the Rock, a very important building, which is one of the holy sites. The city is ancient, 3,000 years and more in age. It is the most contested city of all cities in the world. The capital city of Israel, invaded and destroyed over 30 times. Can you imagine it? And then rebuilt, because it is the city of God. Here's another better view. And here you can see the Dome of the Rock in the foreground, that golden Dome of the Rock. This is the city wall. You can see it stretching right around. 2.5 miles in diameter, 40 feet high. No city wall is like the wall of Jerusalem. Dear friends, one day we shall be gathered together in the New Jerusalem, and that will be our eternal destination. Once you are admitted there, you never need to depart, and you have nothing more, nothing else to wish for but to be an inhabitant. Today, the old Jerusalem has a remnant of the temple of Solomon. The whole temple has been razed to the ground, destroyed. And the only structure left is this Western Wall, called the Wailing Wall, because this is where the Jews go there and pray, because they have no temple to go to. This is the last vestige, the remnant of the temple, and they feel close to God in that way. The Jews who today are blinded in their understanding, you know, they are still waiting for the Messiah, not realizing and recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of promise. So that is why today the Jews are in such a predicament. Persecuted, hounded, and dispersed around the world, but not destroyed. Here you see a collection, a gathering of Jews, and at the wall they pray. Their most ardent hopes are spoken, and they're not only spoken but actively activated, as it were. You know how they pray? They're not just standing, but they go like this, backwards and forwards. I asked one of the Jews, "Why do you do this?" "Oh, to show that we are really very earnest, that even our body energy goes into the prayer." And they insert requests in paper into the crevices of the rock, between rocks. Their request to God, whatever it is, and they leave it there, in the thought and the hope that somehow the prayer will reach to God, in the ignorance. How sad that God's people today are blinded, so that the blessing comes to us, the Gentiles. We all are Gentiles. Is there any Jew here? Right. Jews and Gentiles, there's a great separation. The modern state of Israel was declared in 1948. After 2,000 years, a people without a land, being dispersed throughout the world, even as far as China, South America, Africa, anywhere you name it, they are there. Recently there was a news report, there was a group of Jews found in Henan province in China. Well, there they are. Why? Because of the rebellion against God and their unbelief. So God subjected them to tribulation. Nations invade and conquer them and take captives, sell them overseas, deport them. There they are. Now modern Israel came to pass, 1948. This was a miracle of the first order. No one ever expected that there would be a new modern state of Israel. 2,000 years, no country, no nation, no name. Where were they? Dispersed. How many were there? Nobody knows. But when they are gathered and regathered back to the land, today there are over 5 million Jews in the Holy Land. And yet the majority of Jews are not in the Holy Land, not in their own homeland. Where are they? Majority are in the United States of America, over 6 million. More than in their own homeland. But at least the population in Israel has increased 100-fold. Why? Why should Jews return to Israel when the country was the site of persecution, attacks, and hostility by over 160 million Arabs? This story we have gone over already. Arabs, who are they? You know, of course, by now, you ought to know. They're brothers. When Rebecca was pregnant, and she could not understand the commotion that went on in her tummy, he went to ask God, and God said, "Oh, you are having two nations in your abdomen. The firstborn twin to come out was, remember who? Esau. Esau. He is the head of the Arab clan. Second to come out was Jacob. Just maybe by a few minutes. You know, twin pregnancies. One comes out, one must come out first. They can't come out together. And the second one becomes us younger. But then the rest of the story, we're not here to tell it. You know this, that they became bitter enemies. And out of that hostility fostered inside the abdomen has come a war that drags on for 4,000 years to this day. What is the solution? You know, we will deal with that. In 1948, the Jews declared their nation because one man called Herzl planned and labored with a vision that my people, the Jews, should have a homeland. And together with Ben Gurion, together they strove to build together a government. And on the 14th of May 1948, in the United Nations, they declared, "From today, the Jews have a country and a nation. Jerusalem will be the capital." 1948. The moment this was declared, four Arab countries surrounding there invaded Israel. In the subsequent war following, called the War of Independence, the Arabs were beaten thoroughly. Amazing. If you want to understand miracles, this is one of them. How can it explain one fledgling nation out of nowhere to fight against four surrounding great and powerful nations like Jordan, Syria, and the others surrounding there, Saudi Arabia, all these? Outnumbered and outgunned, and yet they beat the Arabs flat. Can you explain it? The Lord says, Jehovah will fight as in the day of battle for His own people. The Jews are a special people. That's why the Psalm says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You will be blessed if you remember to pray for the people of Israel, of Jerusalem." Why? Because they are God's people. They came out of the man of promise, man of faith. If you like to call him the first Christian, the first one called of God who responded, Abraham. They are the descendants that came from Abraham. And God says, they are my people. One day their eyes will be opened by God. And they will recognize, my, we crucified Jesus. And He is the Messiah that we never knew. Eyes were blinded, but when God's time comes, their blind eyes will open. And they will recognize Him. And they will wail for Him and mourn for Him as one mourns for This firstborn. You know what it is to mourn? If you have a firstborn child that dies, you mourn. This is it. But then God has His everlasting plan. A superior plan, better than any man can plan. God will call back the Jews and restore them in the day to come. 8 years later, they fought the second war with Egypt in the Sinai. Again, the Jews won and the Arabs lost. 1967 was the crucial war called the Six-Day War. The shortest war on record. Whoever goes to war, nation versus nation, and fight for 6 days? Why did they fight for 6 days? Because Arabs collapsed. The Jews just overran them. And their territory was increased 400%. Who did it? When Jehovah fights, as in the day of battle for His people, can He lose? Fact is stranger than fiction. 1968, another war. And the worst one was 1973, Yom Kippur War. The Day of Atonement, when the whole country of Israel, because of their Judaism, they remember this is the Day of Atonement. On this day we go to the synagogues to confess our sins, to atone for our sins by the sacrifice of animals, not knowing that the Messiah had come and had already atoned for their sins. In unbelief, while they were observing this holy day, the holiest of the Jewish calendar, the Arabs invaded. They thought, this time sure we win. Yes, they almost won. Almost won. But again, they lost. In football terms, we say the score is now 5-0. Amazing. If you don't believe in God, when you study the history of the Jews, with an open mind and say, I will believe it if the evidence convinces me, you will believe. You will know that there is a God. You will forget about atheism and evolutionism. All these isms of the devil are now bewitching the human race. Today, you know, every child who goes to school learns about evolution. Where do we come from? Eventually, billions of years ago, we began in the mud pool as an amoeba. You amoeba, I also amoeba. We all came and went through millions of years, billions of years. You don't believe, add more billions. Then it will be believable. So this is it. The Lord will come. Now we talk about Jerusalem. Dear friends, do you have a share in the Jerusalem? Every child of God, in the day to come, in the passage we have read, you will be in the new Jerusalem, not this one that we see from time to time in our tours. The new Jerusalem, whereas the old Jerusalem, the one that is in existence, 7 hours flight from here, you can see it, that is the one that King David founded after he conquered from the Jebusites, 1004 BC. We are now 2010 AD. Add 2 to 1, that's 3,000 years ago. But that Jerusalem will disappear. God will destroy it. And the New Jerusalem will come down from heaven, which we have read in Revelation 21. That is coming, and that is why we want to talk about Jerusalem. With the view that in the process, God's people will realize what a wonderful salvation has been won for us by grace. Dear friends, you're working for it? You can work for it. Work out your salvation, yes. Live it, live it. But you cannot work to win your salvation. For God is our Savior. Now we'll see what else we can learn out of this city of Jerusalem.
The present city, city of David, was an amazing city.
No city on earth can compare with it. So much so that the fame of Jerusalem and of King Solomon spread far and wide until there was a lady called the Queen of Sheba. And I want to share something about what happened with her. When she came to test out, I've heard so much about Jerusalem and a king called Solomon, so wise. So she came with a great caravan, camels and is a moving convoy. Can you please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9? Now this is quite interesting, because it gives you an insight into the wisdom of Solomon, which has become a byword and a proverb. Proverbial. If you are wise, you are compared to Solomon. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Of the kings, then, is Chronicles, right? Verse 1 says, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came with hard questions to Jerusalem. Where? Jerusalem? The present Jerusalem in the Middle East with a very great company, camels and spices and precious stones and gold and every kind of thing. And there she communed with Solomon. All that was in her heart. Verse 2. And Solomon told her all her questions answered. There was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. Everything he knew. And she was stunned, astonished, so that she was speechless. She could not understand how a man could be so smart as he. Verse 3. When the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the city he had built and the way of life and the advancement of the technology and things, arrangement, the way they lived, the luxury and the material wealth of the city and the way that he planned things, all these bowled her over. Verse 4, and the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, attendants of his ministers, and the apparel, the cupbearers, the apparel, and his ascent in which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit left in her. She was stunned and flattened. Then she said to the king, it was a true report I heard in thine own land of thine acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not. I couldn't understand. I didn't believe that there could be a person so wise until I came. And mine eyes see it, and behold, the one half of thy greatness
was not told me. What I heard that caused me to be so impressed, now I've seen more than twice. And there she was impressed with this great king and the great capital of Jerusalem. Now, dear friends, let us conclude with the future of Jerusalem, the present Jerusalem. What is the future for the present Jerusalem? Turn to Zechariah, near the end of the Old Testament, chapter 14. Just before Malachi is Zechariah. Now this is a preview for us to know what is going to happen to Jerusalem. Why is there so much warfare and conflict and tussle over this piece of small real estate? You know, it's not a big country, just a small piece. Some Americans call it a chunk of dirt. Why is there so much bitterness fighting over a chunk of dirt in the Middle East? You can settle the Jews in so many other countries, America for instance. So beautiful and so luxurious, and why are you fighting over this chunk of dirt? No, dear friends, God has destined that this is the land that He will bless. And on this land His purpose will be fulfilled, not any other land. God has chosen Jerusalem, Israel, Zion as His land. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and houses rifled, and women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue shall not be cut off from the city. Then, now, verse 3, shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle, and His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split, cleave in the midst, towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley in between. And half of the mountain shall be moved to the north and half to the south. And verse 8. It shall be in that day the living water shall go out from Jerusalem. Amazing. God's miraculous handiwork. Half of them toward the former sea and half towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name is the One. And the land shall be turned to a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate, and so on, and so on. Verse 11, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. They say, when will this be? Well, I don't know. But I guess it should be in the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. When the Lord returns, He will reign on earth 1,000 years, and we who are with Him shall reign with Him. This is part of that possibility. I shall consult with my consultant, Reverend Quek. Is this possible? In the millennium? You think so? Alright, now. Now our focus is in the new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem will pass away. Verse 1 of Revelation 21. Now this is very exciting, because this one is brand new. Out of heaven will come a city. How can it be? Can you believe it? I say, dear friends, by faith we know that God can do everything but fail. Do you know that? Our God is able to do everything, anything He says will be done. And there's one thing He cannot do, that is to fail. And God never fails. He will fulfill every promise. And this is a promise. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and first earth were passed away. Verse 2. Now here is the special verse. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them, and they shall be and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears. Amazing. Anyone who is grieving, mourning for some reason over death of a loved one, here is the solution. Here is the verse of comfort. Who can comfort you except the Lord Jesus? God shall wipe away all tears, and there shall be no more death. Oh yes, our greatest enemy, death, will be forever banished. No more. In the New Jerusalem, there will be no hospitals, no doctors, and no graveyards. Absolutely. Only one eternal joy and peace, and everyone who is there is forever eternally young and godly and holy, and no sin and no crime and no warfare, no crying, no sobbing. No more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne says, behold, I make all things new. That's why it is called the New Jerusalem. Dear friends, are you looking forward to this? What is the purpose of Christianity? Why do we believe in Jesus Christ? In order that we may receive second birth. To be born again, to be a child of God, and to inherit the coming inheritance. Here it is, the New Jerusalem. It will be our new home, our eternal home, our everlasting, unending home of peace, of joy, of life eternal. That is the meaning of it. Now comes the warning, verse 8. To anyone here who has never found Jesus Christ as Savior, and who is still yet in his sins, unforgiven, uncleansed, because you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, take note, please. Verse 8. The fearful. Who are the fearful? Fearful in the presence of the Almighty God. Jesus Christ, when He returns, all those great men, mighty men, all those who are great tycoons today, they will flee into the mountains and ask the rocks and the mountains, please hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They are the fearful. Unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, those who today make money out of sex. These are the whoremongers. And this is something that is a scourge affecting all and sundry. Amazing. You read it in the papers every day. Every day. Big names. Big sportsmen. Athletes. Footballers. Golfers. All are caught in this web of evil and sin. Unbelievers. Abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, or liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this is from God's word. You believe it? Dear friends, God can do only truth. God's words are all truth and nothing but the truth and no lies. And God will never tell us a lie. But today, the church does not believe in hell. Does not believe in hell. Says, oh, hell there is, but not so hot. Oh, yes, but nobody goes there. Oh, yes, you may go there for a short while, but it is not everlasting. So there are so many theories today. But here it is. The truth is in God's word. Now comes to the crunch verse 27. It is important that we understand this. Don't just pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a goody-goody fellow. I don't think I will go to any other place but heaven. I think it may be a figment of your imagination, in your mind, that you kid yourself and say, I will go there. But listen, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into the New Jerusalem anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who is the Lamb? Oh dear friends, do you know the Lamb? Our Lord Jesus Christ came, the spotless Lamb of God, the atonement for our sins. And He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And there on the cross, He poured out His blood, for nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can atone for our sins. And this is it. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? For the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, has paid the price and the penalty for our sins. And in Him alone we have life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, and a place in the New Jerusalem. Is your name written there? We are going to sing this hymn right now. It is in 322, I believe. 322. This is our closing theme and closing thought. 322, written by Mary Kidder in the 19th century. Is my name written there? Ask yourself as we sing, Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven. I would enter the fold in the book of thy kingdom with its pages so fair. Tell me, Lord Jesus, is my name written there? Is my name written there? Ask yourself, let's arise and sing. 322. When all for riches, for even all gold, I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Lord Jesus, Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there? In the voice old and fair, in the bow of thy kingdom, is my name written there. Lord, my sins they are many, like the sands of the sea, by the word of my Savior is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though our sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? in the book of thy kingdom is my name written there. Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white. The wisdom of though this world is fair, where the angels are watching, yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there, on the page white and fair, in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide with all of God's people now and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated.